Winter is coming. The sign was painted on a scrap of plywood and nailed to a tree in front of the Grayson place. It was hardly noticeable amongst all the other junk that Nutjob had hanging all over his property, but Barbara Campbell noticed it that morning. It was right there between the Red Sox flag and the first flag of the Confederacy. He also had these crazy rock sculptures all over the place, and only God knew what that was all about. But Barbara noticed the sign that morning, probably because it was snowing. It was the first day of December, and even though the official start of winter was technically in 20 days, anyone with a brain in their head would have said the same thing. Winter is here, you dumb Flatlander. Barbara checked the digital thermometer on the dashboard of her Toyota pickup truck. It was 37 degrees in Stratford Corners, New Hampshire. Colder than a witch's tit, as they say. She would rather have been sitting in her kitchen, sipping a mug of coffee and reading the latest Brian Stavely novel. But instead, she was driving south on Route 3 while the snow piled up on the sides of the road. The town's big snowplow had been through already, and it wasn't too bad in the middle, so that's where Barbara kept her little Tacoma, unless someone was coming the other way. Route 3 was two lanes all the way to Lancaster, and then she picked up Route 2 for 20 miles or so, until she reached St. Jay. The roads in the North Country weren't anything like she was used to back in Virginia. In the South, a storm like this one would have shut down every school system in the state, and the radio announcers would have been offering cash money to whomever came up with the best nickname for that particular weather system. Snowpocalypse! Snowmageddon! Barbara thought it was stupid, but Jack and Wes loved that kind of thing. For just a second, the image of her ex-husband appeared in her mind, and Barbara Campbell shuddered. The divorce was less than a year old, and sometimes she wondered if she and Jack had done the right thing. Yes, he had cheated on her. And yes, he was now living with some 26-year-old with blonde hair and big tits. But maybe there was a chance. No, she said to the empty cab of her truck. It's over. She had taken up talking to herself since returning to her hometown of Stratford Corners, a habit her son Wesley pointed out every time he caught her doing it. But it's not like she was doing it on purpose. That's just the kind of thing you slipped into when you were 46 years old and single for the first time in almost two decades. She was heavyset, which was a polite way of saying fat. Her long brown hair, once her pride, was now streaked with gray. She knew that her chances of landing another man were slim, but she had her freedom and her books and her son at home for just a little while longer. Barbara was heading down to the hospital at St. Johnsbury, Vermont, where she was supposed to retrieve an old man named Luke Egan. He was older than the mountains, so it seemed, and as blind as a bat. He never seemed to age, for he looked the same to Barbara now as he did when she was a little girl. She grew up across the street from his shack, and whenever the snows came, he would bundle up and play with the kids on their street, just like he was one of them. He was kind of slow, Barbara's mother had said all those years ago. Not quite right in the head. It didn't matter to Barbie, as she was called in those days, or her brother. They thought he was great fun, and somehow, almost as soon as she returned to her hometown, Barbara became the primary caretaker for the old man.